This cool little thing here. Fantastic. Check that out. Well, I'm looking forward to this this week together. We're going to work hard in the Bible. So get ready to work hard. There's a booklet there with the outlines that might help you. Hopefully you've got a pen. Page number 4 is what Jono's telling me. Hey, Dave, can you re-line that up again for us? Good on you, Dave. Isn't he good? So page 4, the outline is on. That might help you to follow along. But there are surfers who travel the globe in an endless search for the perfect wave. I've got a few photographs here. This is me the other day catching some big waves out at Wyong Point. Just after that bit, I sort of, I fell off, but I was okay. I was under for about 3 minutes. Here's another one here. That was me. No, these aren't me. These are guys who search after the biggest waves. These are huge. Look at the size of him. And the wave hasn't even fully formed yet. They're huge. Check this one out. Look at that. He's about to get hammered. Look how close those two are. That's awesome. This is my favourite one here, this last one. It's a chubby guy. Where are we? There he is. Look at him. He's going to get eaten. Look at him. He's about to die because of his... Check it out there. Do you know, though, the thing is, once a surfer catches a big wave like this, they just want to catch another one. They're never truly satisfied. They're hanging for their next even bigger wave. I've got an article here that was from the newspaper, Central Coast newspaper, just in the last week. Here's this Central Coast guy, Justin Allport. He caught a 9-metre wave. And it was all going well, okay? He got through the big section of the wave, and then just towards the end of the wave, it sort of flicked up behind him, and they have their feet strapped in the boards, and check out what happened. Where's the quote? My front foot got caught in the foot strap when I hit the water, and when I came up, it was all floppy. He broke his leg, imagine this, in 5 places. This guy hammered his leg as he fell off the wave. He's not going to be able to surf for another 9 months. This only happened like a week ago. But check out his quote here. It says, "But it hasn't put me off. I have no thoughts of not going after those big waves as soon as I can." Here's a guy who won't be satisfied until he catches that next big wave. He won't be satisfied until he catches the next big wave after that. He keeps searching. It's an endless search for the big wave. He's a bit like the rich person. They've got lots of moolah, lots of money, yet they're not satisfied because they want more money. How do you know when you've made it? When do you have enough stuff that you can know that you've truly made it? True contentment, that's the big question today. True contentment, how can you be truly content? How can you be truly satisfied? If you, like me, struggle to be content, I think the part of the Bible that we're going to look at this morning is an exciting part of the Bible as we think about what it means to be truly content. How about I pray again? Pray that God would help us to concentrate. How about you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much that we can come away together on FAT. And we ask that you would help us now to concentrate. And please help us all to understand your word to us today. Amen. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but the part of the Bible that was read out there for us this morning, has some very, very, very big words in it. I don't know, scan down the page there. There's probably a whole bunch that you don't understand. There's a whole bunch of difficult words there. So this morning, we're going to take a bit of a whirlwind tour through, I think, probably one of the meatiest chunks in the whole of the Bible. We could actually spend the rest of the week just looking at these verses. There's so much in there. So we're going to work hard this morning. But Paul, he kicks off the letter by saying g'day in verse 1 and verse 2, and then check out his words. Look at verse 3 with me. Make sure you can follow along there. Verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, they are amazing words. What Paul, the guy who's written this letter, what he's saying is that God has blessed us. That is, God has blessed Christians, he's writing to Christians, with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, grab your pen out. I want you to graffiti your Bible. I want you to underline those words. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Underline it, underline it. If it's someone else's Bible, underline it for them. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Underline those for us. Because what he's saying is that if you've got Jesus, you've got it all. And in case we miss what he's saying in verse 3, from verse 4 down to verse 14, he's actually going to explain exactly what he's talking about, explain what he means. Now, when I was at school, I used to get in a little bit of trouble in English type of classes because I'd often just write really, really long sentences. I'd have too many ands, too many commas, and not enough full stops. I think this section's a bit like that. Verse 3 to verse 14 is actually one sentence in the original language, but they've put it into English for us and put some full stops in there just so that we can take a breath every now and again. But the point is, Paul is getting excited. He doesn't take a breath as he writes this. He's going, and he keeps explaining what it means to have every spiritual blessing in Christ. So we're going to look at some of these big words that he uses. There we go. The first thing is that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ because God has predestined the Christian. Have a look at verse number 4. Make sure you follow along. Verse number 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. So when it says that we were predestined, that's a big word. It's referring to the fact that God, before he even created the world, he chose us, he chose Christians, to be his special people, his holy people. And more than that, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Look at verse 5 again, adopted as his sons. He predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Now, I had a friend at school who was adopted. I used to think about him often because I think he loved the fact that he was adopted. For whatever reason, his biological mother wasn't able to look after him. And without even meeting my friend James, his parents adopted him. And they made him one of his children. And I know that he knew that that was special. That they had loved him that much, that they would adopt him as their son. Now, you might be from a broken family. You may not even have a dad. But if you're here today and you are Christian, God, the creator of the entire universe, he has adopted you as his own. You are now a member of God's family. The Bible in other places says that you can call God Dad. You can call him Dad. The creator of the universe is your father. And he loves you very much. Paul is overjoyed as he writes these things and reminds his readers that they were adopted by God. And I pray that we would be overjoyed as we reflect on our father who loves us, who predestined us to be adopted as his children. But wait, there's more. Secondly, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ because the Christian has been redeemed and forgiven of sin. The Christian has been redeemed and forgiven of sin. Look at verse number 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Now, to be redeemed, we've thought about redeemed a little bit before. We've thought about it recently at youth group, but to be redeemed is to be bought back, to be purchased back at a price. It's really picking up the idea of rescue. We've been rescued by God. And it's one of the common themes throughout the whole Bible is our need to be redeemed, our need to be rescued. And we need to be rescued because of a three-letter word. The three-letter word is sin. Sin, as I hope lots of you already know, sin isn't just a list of naughty stuff, like when you get a cross against your name in class. Sin isn't just those things. Sin is our whole attitude of saying, get stuffed, God. It's our whole attitude of saying, God, you're not God, I'll be God. It's our whole attitude of rebelling against him. So the Bible actually says that our greatest need, your greatest need here today, is that you are rescued from your sin. Your greatest need is that you are forgiven of your sin. Do you see what verse 7 is saying? It's saying that our greatest need has been met. If you're a Christian, through the blood of Jesus, we have been redeemed. We have been forgiven. We have been forgiven by God of our sin. When Jesus died on the cross, he took upon himself the punishment that we deserve, the punishment that you deserve. He rescued us from the death that we deserve to die because we've told God to get lost. Now, can you just imagine for a moment a train? Hand up if you've seen a train. Hand up if you've caught a train. I used to catch a train to school. It was fantastic. But imagine you were tied to the train tracks, okay? Imagine one of those CountryLink, like really fast ones that just don't slow down. It's coming towards you. It's bearing down on you at 300 kilometres an hour. You're tied to the track. There's nothing that you can do to get off the track. Okay, just imagine that picture for a moment. You got that picture in the head? A little bit scared? You should be, because it will hurt when it hits you. But just imagine for a moment that the train that's coming towards you, imagine that it's God's anger. And it's God's anger that's coming towards you that you deserve. And the reason why you can't get off the tracks is because you sin, because you're bound to those tracks. What Jesus has done when he died on the cross, Jesus is the one who has stood between you and the train. He's untied you and he stood between you and the train. And you know what he's done? Boom. On the cross when he died, he took the full force of God's anger upon himself. The full force of God's anger that you deserve, Jesus has taken upon himself, and through his blood, we can be forgiven. Friends, that's the only reason why we can gather together on FAT. That's the purpose of why we're here. It's the reason why we can gather together today is because we've been redeemed and we've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. Can you say it with me? But wait, there's more. There's more. He just keeps going. Just imagine here, Paul's not taking a breath. But wait, there's more. And he just keeps going. He's excited as he explains this. Let's check out the next one. Thirdly, we have every... There we go. Thirdly, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ because... Wait for it. We now have purpose in Christ. Look at verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 and verse 10, purpose in Christ. It says, and he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, verse 10, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. If you're a Christian, I've said that a few times this morning, but if you're a Christian, God has made known to you in the Bible what he is on about in the world. You can actually make sense of things. I don't know, as you look around at people at school, people when you watch the news, people are confused in life. People don't know where they're heading. People can't even choose what shoes they're going to wear, let alone bigger decisions. The Christian actually knows what's going on in the universe. God has made it known. And we can know from verse 10 there that all things in heaven and on earth will be brought together under the one head. All things will be brought together under Christ. That's where history is heading. We know that that's where history is going. And these verses here, verse 9 and verse 10, are two of the key verses in the whole of Ephesians. But I'm not going to talk about them for much longer because Rhett tonight's going to pick up some of the big ideas that are going on there in verse 9 and verse 10. But for now, if you understand nothing else from this point here, understand that God's purposes, they're fulfilled in Christ, and these have been made known to us. And therefore, they bring purpose to our lives. We can understand life. We can understand the world that we live in. And we can understand where history is heading. But wait, there's more. Okay, one last one. Verse 11 to verse 14 is where this one is from. Fourthly, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ because we have a guaranteed inheritance. Well, you can put the word inheritance in your book. There you go. We have a guaranteed inheritance. Now, I'm not going to read verse 11 to verse 14. There's so much in there that we could talk about for ages. But I just want to quickly reflect on the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've thought much about the Holy Spirit before. But basically, the Holy Spirit is God dwells in us by His Spirit. If you're Christian, God lives inside you. It's a bit weird. God lives inside you. But if you're a Christian, you've got the Holy Spirit and God lives inside you. And verse 13 says, you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked with the Holy Spirit. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? Look at verse 14. The Holy Spirit, verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. See the role of the Holy Spirit? The role of the Holy Spirit is to be a guarantee of our inheritance. Where we've got an inheritance because we've been adopted as sons. We've been adopted as children of God, and we have a guaranteed inheritance for us. Now, I used to work in a sports shop called InSport. Don't know if you've ever been to one before. But we used to take lay-bys there. And the Holy Spirit's a bit like a lay-by, okay? The Holy Spirit's a bit like a lay-by in that when you go, okay, I want that pair of shoes. They're $200. I don't have $200 on me at the moment. But how about I put 10% down? I pop $20 on them. Those shoes are as good as yours. What we used to do is we'd take those shoes, we put them out the back, we put stuff around them so that no one else could have them. That belonged to Joe Blow, who came in to buy those shoes, and he puts $20 down as a deposit, guaranteeing that it's going to be his, and eventually he'll get it when he pays it off a little while later. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you, God lives in you, and He is a deposit. He's a deposit guaranteeing the future, so that you can be certain about the future, so that you can be certain that the inheritance that is yours because you're an adopted child of God will be yours, guaranteed, no doubt about it. So there we have it. There's a very, very, very quick whirlwind tour of, I think, one of the meatiest chunks in the whole Bible. As I said before, we could spend the rest of the week just looking at those verses. We could probably look at one verse for the next few days. There's so much in there. So verse 3, I'm going to read it again. It says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That's the key verse there, okay? That's the key verse. And he goes on to explain what every spiritual blessing looks like in verse 4 to verse 14. There's a problem, though. There's a problem. I've got a little bit of a problem with the passage. And you might too. I don't know if you picked it up or not. But hands up if you always feel content. You always feel like, fantastic, I'm on top of the world. We've got one, Phil. Congratulations. We've got two. We've got two. Well done. Hand up if you always feel truly satisfied. You always feel like you're truly satisfied. Phil's not willing to this time. Baboon. Nice name. Thanks, Sam. He's truly satisfied. There we go. We've got one person. For most of us here, we're not always truly satisfied. And one final question. Hand up if you feel like because verse 3 says you have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Hand up if you feel like you've always got every spiritual blessing in Christ. You feel like it. Sort of. Some people almost put their hand up, but there's some days where you're like, life's tough. Life's hard. The Bible says that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. The Bible says that clearly. What about when it feels like we don't have it? Because I don't always feel content. I don't always feel satisfied. There's a tension that's going on. It's the now, not yet tension. It's the now, not yet tension. There's a sense in which we have every spiritual blessing in Christ right now. We have it. The Bible says that we have it. Ephesians makes it clear that we have it. We have every spiritual blessing in Christ right now. But there's a sense in which we don't yet have it. There's a sense in which we don't yet have every spiritual blessing in Christ. We do, but we don't. Verse 7 talks about redemption. It says that we have been redeemed. It says that pretty clearly. But verse 14 says that we are yet to be redeemed. It says that redemption is something that's happening in the future. We have been redeemed. We have been rescued. Yet, it's going to happen in the future. What's going on? We've got it, but we don't have it. Well, do we have it or do we not have it? Well, we've got both. We do have it, yet we don't have it. Confused? Hand up if you're a little bit confused. It's very confusing because it says we've got it, but we don't have it. But we do have it, but we don't have it. We've got it, but we don't have it, but we do have it. It's the tension between the now and the not yet. Have a look at verse 3. Verse 3 is our key verse. If you remember no other verse from today, remember verse number 3. But I'm going to read it for you another time. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I want you to turn to the person beside you. Quick question. Where have we been blessed? Where have we been blessed? Very quickly, you've got 10 seconds. Where have we been blessed? Where have we been blessed? Just from verse 3. 9 seconds. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, stop talking. That's plenty of time. Hand up if you think you've got it. Where have we been blessed? Cal, first hand up. Can people see that? Do you want to say that again? In the heavenly realms. It says, God has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The reason why it's true that we do have it, and yet we don't have it at the same time, is because we have it in the heavenly realms. Now, heavenly realms, it's a very, very hard concept, and Ephesians talks about it a bit. But heavenly realms is spoken of a bit here in Ephesians. So we have every spiritual blessing in Christ, but it's in the heavenly realms. So it's ours now. The spiritual blessings that we have now have been won by Jesus on the cross, yet we can't yet see it. It's a bit like when you buy a house, you own it. When you buy a house, you own it, but the bank owns it. So you do own it now, but in 30 years' time when you've paid off the loan, you really own it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense? So when you go to buy a house, you say, "I want $7 million to buy this house, please, bank." And you give them a dollar as your deposit, and then you slowly start paying it off. The house is yours to live in it. You own it. You can say, "This is my house." Yet, you don't yet own it. Do you know, is that helpful? That's a helpful illustration for the whole now not yet tension. It's difficult to understand the now not yet tension, but in the end, it's not about how we feel. It's not about how we feel, whether we feel like we've got every spiritual blessing. It's about knowing that we truly have it. We do have it in Christ, both in the now sense, but in the not yet sense. Now, very, very quickly, I want to make one final point. It's actually the key point, the very key to what we're doing here. It's important, so listen for another minute. It's the words "in Christ." That's the whole key to our spiritual blessings. They are in Christ. Now, the words "in Christ," if you scan down the passage, "in Christ," "in Him," "through Jesus Christ," "in the one He loves," they appear some 11 times. Can you scan down there? See how many times it said "in Him," "in His," "in Christ." It appears there lots of times. The key is that if you're in Christ, you've got it all. You've got every spiritual blessing. Now, a number of times I've been close to bushfires, and I've thought, I need to be careful I don't get caught in this bushfire. But do you know what you do if you're stuck in a bushfire? Like, you're out in the bush, and you know, like, there's this big wall of fire coming. You know that you can't run around it. You know that you can't run away from it. You don't have a car. Do you know what you do? You don't run through it, because you're going to die if you do that. You actually start another fire. You start another fire. There's a big wall of fire coming. Look, let's say it's a kilometre away, but you can see it coming. You start another fire here, and as the wind pushes it that way, burns off this area. Do you know what you do? You stand in the bit that's already burnt, so that when the big main front comes around, you won't be burnt. You'll be fine. You'll be okay, because the fire won't burn in the same place twice. It's like that with Jesus. If you stand in Him, if you stand where God's anger has already been poured out, it won't be poured out again. If you'll be safe. If you're in Christ, you've got it all, both now and into eternity. Finally, the search is over. The search is over. I've been trying to rack my brain the last few days for a romantic movie where there's like a woman who searches all over the world for like that perfect guy. You've seen movies like that, haven't you? And then in the end, she never finds that perfect guy. They're all duds. She comes back to her childhood sweetheart from high school, and they live happily ever after. Sweet Home Alabama, that could... Yeah, there you go. That's the one. There you go. I said that one, didn't I, Jackson? There you go. The search is over. She lives happily ever after with her sweetheart. Can I encourage you to stop searching? Stop searching. If you're in Christ, you've got it all. Don't look elsewhere. Don't look at other things. God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in Christ. If you've got Jesus, you've got it all. What's the key to true contentment? Jesus. The key to living a content and fully satisfied life here is knowing that in Jesus you've got it all. I'm going to pray. Dear God, we do thank you for Jesus, and we thank you that in him we have it all. Thank you that in him we have every spiritual blessing. And we pray that you'd help us to be content in him and know that what we've got in him will last forever. Amen.